I'm going to read from Job chapter 42 and verse 1. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity which the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren Hupach. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died, old and full of days. The book of Job is quite a long book, and we have just read its primary conclusion, a man who suffered a great deal. And although Satan plays a part, really, it was the Lord, as verse 11 indicates. And the Lord has restored Job. He's forgiven Job. Job talks about repenting in dust. But also there is some physical recompense or some physical blessing given by the Lord to Job. And verse 12, of course, is perhaps key to the entire passage. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. In one respect, the first part or half of our lives are better than the second. It's then that we have our health. It's then that we have our energy. It's then that we're young and excited and all the rest. And some of us, of course, are followers of Jesus Christ during that time. Some of us are saved later on. And in the second part of our lives, quite often, that is when our bodies, unlike Job's, our bodies don't work properly. It's when things begin to go wrong. And yet we are perhaps wiser than we were. I can certainly vouch for that. And we know the Lord more. And in that respect, the latter days of our lives are better than the first. We know that Job lost some of his family in some of the events which happened earlier in the book. We're told, though, in verse 13, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then, rather unusually, we're given some details. And we are not given the names of the male children, but we are given the names of the female children. Furthermore, we know that there is some significance about these 3 ladies. Again, unusually for the ancient times in which Job was living, we're told he gave them an inheritance among their brothers. So rather than just waiting to kind of marry them off and be done with them, they were given a fair share of the family estate in their own right. Why? Well, we don't know. It might be, of course, that Job was simply being very gracious, having received the bounty of the grace of God himself, and yet were also given their names. Why should they be named when none of us are likely to meet them, and when their brothers are just called the brothers? Well, I don't know. And yet, when I'm thinking on a Wednesday evening of the so-called bit parts of Scripture, I think the daughters of Job here fit the bill. Now, I have looked up what the names mean. Could that be a clue as to why they are included? And unfortunately, there seems to be a number of different interpretations as to what these names actually mean, depending on which commentator or book you choose to consult. Take, for example, Jemima. It has been translated by one commentator as daylight. Another renders it as dove. Or Keziah, a name which some of us might be more familiar with than you might expect, having had a Keziah worship here and marry here. What does Keziah mean? Well, it can be translated cinnamon, which I rather like, or it can be translated sweet smelling. I can see the link there, more perhaps than Jemima's interpretations might be. And then we have Keren Hupach, or Keren Hupach. And I used to know a Karen Hupach, and I keep thinking of her. But this lady was alive long before she was around. Again, I've come across two interpretations of the name. One of them is a horn of eye paint, which, you know, like an ancient brand of mascara, seems a strange name to give to a woman. Another one has interpreted it as beautiful colours. So whether that's being a bit freer with the literal horn of eye paint, I'm not too sure. And yet we're told that these women were especially beautiful, whether or not Keren Hupach used her horn of eye paint to add to that beauty, I cannot be certain. But in all the land were found no women so beautiful as all the daughters of Job. Now, whether that is some hyperbole on the writer's part, or whether he actually was quite familiar with the land and went on a kind of like an expedition to compare the beauty of the women of the land compared to the daughters of Job, and therefore could write with authority, I'm not too sure. So they're more beautiful than the people around them. They are probably richer than the women around them, not just, of course, because they're daughters of Job, and Job has been made rich by God, but because there is an inheritance which he has specially earmarked for them. But we do also have these rather lovely names. Again, Jemima, daylight or dove. I have come across sermons, especially from the reign of Queen Victoria, which have turned the three daughters of Job into three kinds of objectives of the believer. And yes, I can go along with that to some extent. Jemima, the daughter of the day, the daughter of the light, the daughter of gentleness, the daughter of the dove. Keziah, who apparently smells so sweet, or like cinnamon. And if you doubt the smelling attractiveness of cinnamon, you can buy an awful lot of products on the supermarket shelf which are cinnamon flavour. So quite clearly, it's a flavour which resonates with the human nostril. Or Keren Hupach, beautiful colours. Daylight, of course, is useful, but colour, of course, is more than just utility. You know, God could have made a black and white world. Would we have found it impressive? Yes, we would. We would have found it wonderfully impressive, partly because we had nothing to compare it to. But there, you know, shades of grey do indicate differences in texture and so on. And yet God chose to give us a colourful world in which to live. We are wearing different colours of our clothing. Our hair is different colour. There are different colours outside of the window. It is quite possible, this is my theory, by the way, that when we go to heaven, there'll be a whole new palette, a of colours available which God chose not to share with this world, but rather they are reserved for the world to come. There is something spectacular, perhaps, in the name of that third daughter. Well, I'm not going to labour the point and say we all ought to be Jemimas and Kezias and Karen Hupaks and all the rest of it. And yet there is, I think, here in all of them a picture of the believer. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, you are more beautiful than others on the planet. And I don't mean that in a kind of crass, looking into the mirror, who is the fairest in the land kind of way, but for having had your sin forgiven, for wearing the righteous robes of Jesus Christ, you are beautiful, and you are increasingly reflecting the beauty of Jesus Christ in your life. The scripture says that when we see him, we'll be like him. Somehow, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, we will more fully reflect the beauty of Jesus Christ. So we are beautiful. Furthermore, we are wealthy. Again, this is where some brethren err, and they look to the wealth of this world, which is passing away. But in the currency of heaven, in the eternal economy, in Christ, we are co-heirs, and we are wealthier than anyone who's ever lived on the earth, and we are wealthier than the angels as well. We think we're poor. In fact, we are wealthy. Furthermore, like Jemima, we are children of the daylight. We're no longer people of the night. We're not ashamed of who we are or what we do. We don't engage in debauchery and drunkenness as the apostle associates with darkness. Furthermore, we ought to be, as my Victorian preacher said, as gentle as the dove, if indeed that is what Jemima means. Furthermore, sweet smelling. We're told that when Noah offered sacrifice to the Lord, it was a soothing, beautiful aroma. I caught the bus today, and I'm not quite sure who, but somebody who was on that bus also gave off an aroma, but it was not a sweet one. Well, looking at our lives and our past, we have much which we have done which is foul. But in the gospel, yeah, it's all forgiven. That's right. Yeah. And the beautiful savour, the beautiful aroma, the beauty itself of Jesus Christ comes from us unto the Father. Furthermore, we are people of colour. Now, people of colour in today's political parlance means people who are not white. But I'm not referring to that here. I talked before about the possibility of a black and white world. And in one respect, many people are inhabiting a monochrome, grey world. Just imagine what your life would be like now without Jesus Christ. You'd be at home watching Coronation Street or Emmerdale Farm. That would be the height of your Wednesday night pleasure. Or you'd be looking forward to a cruise or a week in Lanzarote. That would be the highlight. And then you'd pick the most stylish care home. And then you'd choose a funeral plan. And then you'd choose which Frank Sinatra hits you want. That is what your life would consist of. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, the best is always yet to come. We are people, yeah, of colour. Yeah. We might have a colourful past in the worst sense of the expression, but by the grace of God, we have a remarkably, indescribably colourful future. The other point I would make in closing is that these three very fortunate and blessed ladies did absolutely nothing to get those qualities. In fact, Father Job suffered a great deal before they could do that. I don't want to push typology too far. It's not always helpful, and it can be rather annoying, people seeing things which aren't really there. But Job suffered a great deal before, I think, these ladies were even born, and yet they derive all the benefit and the pleasure of it. let's just be reminded that the light we enjoy, the savour which we receive and offer, the beautiful colours which are ours and ours to come, they're all ours because of what Jesus did before us, his death, his life, his resurrection, and his desire to save. Jemima, Kezia and Keren Hupak were born into these rather lovely, wonderful lives. But there's nothing they did to deserve it. And the wonderful future we have, and the exciting present we enjoy, is all because of Jesus Christ. Amen.